that light on the ground just coming up. I'll start off by singing, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with peace.
Blessed be In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Well, can we sing of Him be not dismayed, for there betide, God will take care of you. Well, I look over and tell them, see if they can. Go ahead, sing the first verse. Be not dismayed and nervous, hey, God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide, God will take care of you.
Be not dismayed.
Thank you. each and every one this evening, and we do give everyone a warm welcome in their service tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord bless you, those that's here. And perhaps we're a few people missing tonight, but God bless each one. We know that everything is happening. Some people are genuinely distant, or whatever they call the words for it. And then there's other people that are in absolute fear. But our fear should be the fear of the Lord, nothing else. And it is the Lord ultimately that's our protector. We do all these things, social distance, wear masks, whatever, all these different things, but the Lord's our protector at the end of the day. And it is the Lord that we're trusting tonight, and we're fully depending upon the Lord. Well, we want to turn to Leviticus 17 tonight, and God bless those. I want to give a special greeting to the brethren in Ghana, in Liberia. If anyone's listening in tonight, we had a lot of people tuned in last week. May the Lord bless you. And also, we really enjoyed our brother John's testimony, our elder here, Brother John McKinstry. Tremendous testimony this morning of the visitation in 1993 of the angels of the Lord. Now, if you're watching in this evening and you've never heard that testimony, if you go onto our church page and go into the archives, Brother Matthew will have it up there, and I want you to go in and hear it. It's a blessing. It will bless you. It's a tremendous account, and it gives us courage to know the coming of the Lord is at hand. It is imminent, the coming of the Lord. Praise God. Let us read from verse 1 of Leviticus 17, verse 1 to 9, and also verse 11. Also, I want to congratulate Brother Nigel, Sister Catherine, on the birth of a wee son. May the Lord bless them all. And great news, praise God. And I think, is that the first Anderson boy? Praise God, called after Brother Keith, praise God. Isn't that wonderful? I don't know if it was really announced or not, was it? Is that a prophecy, brother? You know it's dangerous. Don't say anything, Sister Alva. Because when I had four children, and there's a man came to our house, and my wife said the fourth one was the last one, that was the end of it. And he looked at me and he smiled and he says, "Well, I believe you're going to have five." She said no, but the fifth one came along. And the fifth one came along, so don't say a word. Praise God. But I'll tell you, everyone's a blessing from the Lord. Every wee boy and every wee girl is a blessing from the Lord. Now, when they get bigger, they can put you through it. I can tell you, they can bring you on your knees, and I mean that literally. And but we thank God for every one of them. And we're claiming everyone that when the catching up takes place, every one of them's going to go. We have to believe it. Ye in your house shall be saved. Don't look at where they are tonight, at the circumstances, but look at the promises of the Word of God. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. God bless Brother Nigel and Sister Catherine and young Keith as well. God bless every one of them. And the girls as well. God bless them all. And all yous younger ones is here tonight. The Lord bless each and every one. And the young ones listening in, the Lord bless. Praise God. Let's read from verse 1 of Leviticus. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel. Chapter 17, verse 1. Speak unto Aaron and his sons, and unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, saying, What man soever there be out of the house of Israel that killeth an ox, or a lamb, or a goat, or in the camp, or that killeth it out of the camp, and bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer an offering unto the Lord before the tabernacle of the Lord, blood shall be imputed unto that man. So he must bring it to the door. I want you to get that. He can't work with it anywhere else. It must be brought to the door. Blood shall be imputed unto him. He that hath shed blood, and that man shall be cut off from among his people.
to the end that the children of Israel may bring their sacrifice, which they offer in the open field, even that which they may bring them unto the Lord, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, unto the priest, and offer them for a peace offering unto the Lord. And the priest shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar of the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and burn the fat for the sweet savour unto the Lord. And they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils, after whom they have gone a-whoring. This shall be a statute forever unto them throughout their generations. And thou shalt say unto them, whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, of the strangers which sojourn among you, that offer up a burnt offering or sacrifice, and bring it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer it unto the Lord, even that man shall be cut off from among his people. So there's only one place he was permitted to offer. Verse 11, for way of a text. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh atonement for the souls. Hence my title tonight, Only the Blood. Let us bow our heads this evening, praise God. And if you're here and you have a need, just raise your hand up to the Lord and we'll remember you in prayer. And if anyone's watching in tonight and you have a need, I want you to just, wherever you are, lift your hand as a symbol to the Lord and he'll see you and God will answer you tonight. Heavenly Father, we do humbly bow before you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for this another opportunity that we can come from thy footstool into thy very throne room and into thy very presence because of the new and living way through the precious blood of the Lamb. Father, we do come tonight pleading the merits of the precious blood. Ask you this evening for every hand raised in this room and those watching in tonight. Father, I pray you'll meet their every need in Jesus Christ's name. Protect that man, that woman from this thing that's going about, Lord. Keep them safe. Cover them with your precious blood. We pray again for our nurses, for our doctors, for all those that's in the front line, as it were, Lord. I pray you'll bless them, that you'll keep them, that you'll watch over them. In the name of Jesus Christ, I plead your blood over each and every one. Bless the children in this room and those watching in tonight, and save all of our children. In Jesus Christ's name we ask. Father, I take the Holy Spirit to help me, and I thank you that you do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Just a couple of thoughts tonight, and I won't hold this long this evening. Two important thoughts in this chapter, and the first one is that the life belongs to Jehovah. The life belongs to Jehovah, it belongs to no one else. And we see especially in verse 14, the second thought, the power of atonement is in the blood, only the blood. The Bible tells us in Hebrews, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So the power of atonement is in the blood. So if you have no blood, you have no power of atonement. So a gospel that has no blood in it has no power of atonement. So it's no gospel. And I often refer to it, and may I refer to it again this evening, that C.H. Spurgeon said, a man that does not preach the blood, I have only one thing to say about him, do not go to hear him, never. That's quite a statement, but I believe, as many believe, that Spurgeon was absolutely the prince of preachers, a tremendous servant of God, and I take on board many of the things he said. We wouldn't agree on everything, obviously not, but he definitely was a servant of God. Amen. And here it bears record to the Bible. The offering had to be made the way Jehovah described it. You couldn't just offer the offering willy-nilly. The offering had to be made the way Jehovah described it. If not, it was robbing Jehovah of his rights. And God has a way to do things, and God has a plan to do things. And even in the Old Testament, in Leviticus, and you can study chapter 17, all about the blood. He had a way the offering had to be made. And even the Bible tells us Jesus suffered without the camp, without the gate. And also we see when we study the Old Testament, there was a morning sacrifice and there was an evening sacrifice. And Jesus on the cross was both the morning and the evening sacrifice. He fulfilled every letter of the law. He exonerated it. Praise God. He fulfilled all of it. So if not, it's robbing Jehovah of his rights for sending to Satan that which was due to God. So if we don't do things the way God wants them done, if we don't recognize God's way of doing things, we are glorifying the devil. Praise God. And we don't want to glorify the enemy. A man might say, can I offer a sacrifice in one place as well as the other? The Bible says no. Now we're talking here symbolically as in a type. We're looking here in the Old Testament where they had to offer at the door. And then we know our door today is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I'm the door to the sheepfold. By me, ye may enter in. No other way. The answer is, life belongs to God. You can't offer just in any place. And his claim must be recognized in the place he is appointed. Before the tabernacle of the Lord, that was God's only meeting place between God and man. To offer elsewhere proved that the heart was not right with God. And there's people, they want to get to heaven in other ways without coming through Jesus. And one great preacher in America, he's a different one from the one I named last week. Maybe I should name this one too. Shout his name from the housetop. I'll tell you, his second name's Osteen. Now, his father was a good man, but his son's not his father. He was asked on a live broadcast, is there other ways to heaven other than Jesus? And he fiddled about, and he said there was other ways. Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Osteen, you're a liar. You are a liar and a deceiver. The Bible says there is one way and only one. Now, I want to quote you tonight from a message called Fellowship Through Reconciliation of the Blood. Isn't that a wonderful title? Notice Israel, wherever they was, they had only one place of fellowship. And we've read that. That was under the blood. When a man come to be reconciled to God, the first he had to come into the tabernacle, that was a place where the bodies of the beasts were slain. That's where the blood was on the altar. And the only meeting place that Jehovah promised to meet people, under the shed blood, the only place. The only place he ever did meet people, and the only place he ever will meet people is under the shed blood. You cannot come to God only under the blood. Because God requires the blood so that your sins be washed away, so that your sins be removed, and all of us have sinned. Romans 3 and 23, Romans 6 as well. And come short of the glory of God. But Jesus Christ is that meeting place. One meeting place. I want to emphasize that tonight. And you that's listening in, there is one meeting place. I'm not talking about this building or wherever you are tonight. Or an organization. Whether it's a mega ministry or some other name, that's not it. That one meeting place is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where the meeting place is. And you could gather anywhere. The Bible says for two or three are gathered in my name. There am I in the midst. And that to bless. The moral of this is plain. There's one place where God is appointed to meet the sinner. And that's at the cross. God will meet you at the cross. Because that's where the blood was shed. And you cannot get to heaven if you don't come by the cross. You must come by the cross if you're ever going to reach heaven. And we heard this morning how the heavens will be open. When the Lord comes and the angels come, the heavens will be open. There'll be a way made in. And that way is made into heaven for all those that have come by way of the cross. And the Lord's coming for us. We're going to leave here. We're leaving, you know. Amen. We have the token. We have the token. The fur's been paid. And we're going to go. And we are saved. According to Ephesians, we are saved.
this morning, and we're going to go in. Isn't that wonderful? But you have to come by the way of the cross.
Let me tell an old story, and I know I've told it before. And the late Pastor William Mullen told this story, and that's where I heard it many years ago. But he told of a wee boy in Belfast, and that wee boy was lost. And they used to call the policemen Bobbies. I know we have Brother Bobby, but that was a name for a policeman, was a Bobby. And probably some of the older people know that even better than me, but they called them the Bobbies. And this policeman found this wee lad crying, and he was all dirty and everything, and he took him by the hand and he said, "Son, what's wrong?" He says, "I'm lost." And he led him along by the hand, and when he led him, after a certain time, the wee boy pulled in his arm, and he says, "Mister, I live over there." And the big policeman said, "How do you know?" And he says, "Do you see that cross on the top of that big church? My house is just behind that church." He knew the cross. He recognized the building with the cross was the church where his house was just behind it. And he let him go and he ran straight for home. He didn't have to take him any further. And the big policeman was a saved man, and he says God spoke to him. And God said to him, "If you just point them to the cross, I'll do the rest." Amen. Isn't that wonderful? And the cross is the only meeting place for man. I want to emphasize that in this service tonight. The cross is the one and only meeting place for man. We cannot come to God outside of the cross. Because it was on the cross 2,000 years ago that Jesus Christ bled and died. And his blood became our atonement. He paid the price for our sins. I wrote today, just in my Bible, reconciliation. That's what atonement means. To bring man into fellowship again with God. And the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ is our atonement. It is our reconciliation. It is our way to come back into fellowship with God. Because mankind was out of fellowship. As a preacher in this country preached during the lockdown, a brother, I heard him on one Sunday, preached a lovely message. Being at a distance from God. Some of us might have heard it. At a distance. And we were at a distance from God. We hear about 2 meter distancing. And I tell you, our sin put us at a distance from God. But Jesus Christ on the cross bridged the gulf between heaven and hell. And he is our mediator, and we can have atonement through his blood so that we don't have to be at a distance from God. We can come now by the blood of Jesus Christ into the very presence of God because of that blood. The cross is the one and only meeting place. There and there alone has God's claim upon the life been duly recognized. To reject this meeting place is to bring down the judgment of God upon oneself. It is to trample under feet the claims of God. It is important to see verse 6. And here's what verse 6 says of Leviticus 17. "And the priest shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar of the Lord at the door of the tabernacle." And Jesus Christ's blood was shed, and he is that door. Praise God. The blood of the fat belongs to God. Jesus knew this. He surrendered his life to God. Jesus gave his life for me and you. He said, "Not my will be done, but thine." You know when he was tempted and tried in the garden, and he sweated great drops of blood, and he prayed, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will be done, but thine." He wanted to do the will of the Father. And he had to shed his blood so that we could have atonement. Only the blood. The blood, praise God. He voluntarily walked to the altar and there gave up his precious life for me and you. Titus 2 verse 14. "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from iniquity." And the word redeem means to buy us back. We were away. But Jesus paid the price for us. We owed a debt we couldn't pay. The debt we owed was a debt of sin. Death reigned chains on our bodies. Sin was reigning in us. But when Jesus paid the debt for our iniquities, then we can come under the scripture in Romans. Sin shall have no more dominion over you. Death shall have no more dominion over you. Because of Calvary. Yeah. It's been paid for. Jesus paid our debt. And he redeemed us from our iniquities. And purity unto himself, a peculiar people, seeds of God. Here's my second thought from verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it you upon the altar to make atonement for your soul, reconciliation. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. You see, the life is in the blood. Now we heard last week of the source of the life. Why the blood of Jesus is so powerful? Because of where the source of it, where it comes from. The blood of Jesus is not just like animal's blood, but it was the very blood of God himself was in the veins of Jesus Christ. So that's why the Bible calls it the precious blood of Jesus. God's blood. It's not Jewish blood. It's not Gentile blood. It is God's blood. It is precious, and it can redeem us and pay for us in full. The thought between these two points is deeply interesting. Listen, when the man realizes his place as one possession, no title whatsoever to life, we have none. We have no claim, no title whatsoever. We are born in sin, we are sheep in iniquity. The best we could ever do would never please God. We needed a Savior. We needed to be redeemed. Our best is not enough. But his best was enough. It's not what I can do, it's what he done. It's not what I am, it's what he became for me. Amen. He became us that we might become him. It's not the Bible. He became us. The Bible says he lowered himself, he condescended. He lowered himself, our brother mentioned it this morning, he lowered himself a little lower than the angels. He took upon him the form of a man and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus, who death had no claim on, Jesus, who the sin had no claim on, he willingly took our place so that we could be saved by his precious blood, only by his blood. When he fully, no claim to life, when he fully recognizes God's claim upon him, then the divine record is, I have given you life to make atonement for your souls. Yes, atonement is God's gift to man. This atonement, it's not just the atonement of a bullock or a turtle dove or a pigeon like in the Old Testament, but this is the atonement of the only begotten Son of God. God so loved the world. John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17. For God sent not a son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It's not his will that any should perish. My friend listening in this evening, God loves you. And he wants to save you. He loves you. He loves you if you're a drunkard. He loves you if you're a drug addict. He loves you if you're homosexual. God still loves you. I heard men protesting homosexuals on a, I can't remember where it was, and they were out there and they cursed them. They basically cursed them. They used curse words. That's not Christianity. I'm sorry. God does not send us to go out and curse people. God loves the sinner. No matter how deep or dark the sin, he hates the sin, but he loves the sinner. And the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. God can cleanse all that will come because of the atonement through his blood, only by the blood. And be it carefully noted that this atonement is in the blood and only in the blood. It is the blood that maketh atonement for your soul. That's the word of God. Hebrews tells us without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. It is not the blood and something else. Amen. The word is most expensive.
God.
Let me read you this quotation. The infallible word of God is not some statement. The infallible word of God. Have any believes it's infallible? The infallible word of God. When he died at Calvary, he bowed his head as far as the atonement was made. And everything that you've got need of in this journey from earth to glory, he screamed, it's finished. There could be nothing else added to it. Nothing else taken from it. That settles it. The Bible is finished. The plan of God is finished. The atonement is made. The devil is defeated. And the only thing we have to do is look and live. Praise God. Brother, sister, tonight, may God of heaven help us to look and live. May the Lord help us tonight to look and to live. You might be listening in, or even in this service, you might say, but brother, things are getting the better of me. Look afresh to the Lord and live. There is life for a look at Calvary. Hebrews 9:22, and I've quoted it already, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission. It was the death of Christ in rent the veil. It is by the blood of Jesus Christ we have boldness to enter the holiest of holies. When Jesus died on the cross and he screamed, it's finished. Amen. The plan was paid for. Our redemption was paid. And even the priests, when you read the history of it, the priests that were offering in the old tabernacle that Moses made, that veil rent before their eyes, I'm sure it scared the life right out of them. They must have been in shock. The Bible tells us many of them believed. And you know, many soldiers believed. The Bible tells us that. Many believed in the crucifixion. And many know the Word of God says that. And that veil rent from the top, not the bottom up, rent from the top to the bottom before them. God was signifying there was no other works program needed to get in. The way was clear. The way was made. Jesus Christ is now the one and only way through his blood. It's finished. We don't go out and kill a bullock tomorrow. But Christ is our high priest. And the Bible tells us he is touched by the feeling of our infirmities. He entered in once to heaven for us, so that we could have eternal redemption. It's not some word. Eternal redemption only by the blood of Jesus. Ephesians 1 verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. It is through the blood of Jesus you're redeemed. It is through the blood of Jesus your sins are forgiven. They're gone. Doesn't matter, my friend, what your sins are this evening. Paul the Apostle, who wrote many books in this New Testament, and the Bible calls him a great apostle, and it even says that many special miracles were wrought by the hands of Paul. God so used him, yet he suffered. And Paul the Apostle said he was the chiefest among all sinners. He was the chiefest. But it was because of the blood of Jesus, Paul's sins were removed. And my friend, this evening, the only thing that can give you peace is the blood of Jesus. The only thing that can cleanse your heart, your mind, and your conscience is the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. The blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. Peace with God only by the blood. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. It is the blood that redeems you. There's so many scriptures that tell us about it. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. You know, this is one of the things that binds people. The conscience of your sin will cripple you, it will bind you, it will bring you into bondage. But when you have a revelation of the blood of Jesus, It'll set you free. Completely free. Because the blood will cleanse you. Your past, present and future, all in the blood. All you have to do is come to the cross. We're not telling you to come to any church or lodge or organization. We're asking you, will you come to the cross? I remember in England, in Manchester, I preached for Brother Joseph Warwick. And if any of the brethren listening in, the Lord bless you. But we had a tremendous service. And if Brother Beecham was here, he could tell you the meeting was going all right, but there was a prophecy came. Brother Andrew's wife, the Lord moved her, and a prophecy came. And that prophecy was calling people to the altar. And it wasn't the altar like come to this altar. It was the altar of Calvary. And God calls us to the altar of Calvary. And the backslider that's backslidden needs to come afresh to the altar of Calvary. And come for a fresh cleansing in the blood of the Lamb of God. Come to the altar. And I tell you, when that happened and people came, and some came literally to the front and they knelt and they prayed to God, and God began to move and people got saved and delivered because they obeyed God's instructions. God wants us to obey His instructions. And God's instructions to the unsaved has come to the cross. And God's instructions to the backsliders come to the cross. And for us to see it, we need the cross. And we need the precious blood of Jesus every day. Thank God for the blood. Revelation 12 verse 11. And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Revelation 12 11. They overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb. If you are going to be an overcomer, you need to know how to appropriate the power of the blood. What do you mean, preacher? I mean that when you're praying, you need to plead the blood on your case, on yourself, on your children, on your house. Just like Moses said to the people, the father went and he killed himself a lamb and he put it in the basin, but that wasn't good enough. God never recognized the blood in the basin. God never recognized it on the father's hand when he killed the lamb. But the blood had to be applied on the doorposts. And today Jesus wants His blood applied on our doorposts of our hearts by faith. By faith we must apply the blood on our hearts by faith. And the death angel will pass over. He can't touch you when the blood's on you. You say, if nothing happened to me in this life, second death will have no power on you. Second death can have no power on the believer. The Christian never really dies, you know. He can go asleep, as we heard this morning, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For them that are in sleep, the dead in Christ means asleep in Christ. They're asleep. They're not really dead because they're absent from the body and present with the Lord. And the Lord's coming and the angels of the Lord's coming. And the graves are going to open. And the dead in Christ will rise. I tell you, we should be, what type of people should we be the night when we know the coming of the Lord's imminent? You would never think it. You would never think it. People are not looking for the coming of the Lord. Brother Gary said it this morning. My dad often says the same thing. He says, the right hope of any man is the coming of the Lord. Looking for the coming of the Lord. That's the right hope of any right thinking man. This world's going crazy. You saw the earthquakes. How many saw the earthquakes? Just the other day, earthquakes. People perishing. There's fires in America. There's so many terrible things happening around the world. Jesus is coming again. And we need to be ready. We need our lamps trimmed and burning as Christians. And you that's not saved, my friend, when he comes, you need to be saved. You need to have the blood. You need to bathe by faith in the blood of Jesus. We must see the importance of the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ is the foundation of everything. It is the ground of God's righteousness in justifying an ungodly sinner that believes on the name of the Son of God, and it is the ground of the sinner's confidence and drawing nigh to the Holy God, who is purer, his eyes is purer than the whole evil. God is pure. The eyes of the Lord go throughout the whole world. Isn't that the Bible? God would be just in condemnation of every sinner. But through the death of Christ, he can be just and the justifier of him that believeth on Jesus Christ. You can be justified by believing in Christ. But only by believing in Christ. I can't tell you another way. I hear people talking about a new gospel. There is none. I hear people talking about a new message. I'm sorry, there is none. Tell me the old story, for it is ever new. Tell me the old story that Jesus died for me as well as you. I tell you, it's old, but it's new. Never needs changed or altered. It's right the way it is.
Amen.
The Bible calls it in Revelation the everlasting gospel. My, isn't it wonderful? The righteousness of God is his consistency with himself, his acting in harmony with the revealed character. Hence, were it not for the cross, his consistency with himself would of necessity demand death and judgment for all sinners. It's the cross that stops the judgment of God coming on me and you. As we saw last week, I told you everyone's going to rise. Now there's two resurrections, we know that. I haven't time to go into it. But people that's done terrible things and they never get saved and they never come under the blood, and they think when my life ends, it's over. But it's not. It's not over. They're going to stand before God. Jesus Christ is the judge of this whole earth. The Bible says God has appointed a day in which he'll judge the world through Jesus Christ. I don't want to meet him as judge. Do you? I want to meet him as my Lord and Savior. I want him to judge me now. I want to come to the cross now. I want to come to the blood now. I want to be renewed now. I want to be filled now. I want to be ready now. So that when that day comes, I'll be under Romans 8:1, now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Not what you want to be under. But in the cross, the death and judgment were borne by the sinner's surety, so that the same divine consistency is perfectly maintained, where the Holy God justifies an ungodly sinner through faith. There's Luther for you. Justified by faith, and faith alone. Not wonderful. It is all through the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing less, nothing more, nothing different, only the blood. I'm closing in a moment. It is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. This is conclusive. This is God's simple plan of justification. It's simple, it's plain. It doesn't take somebody smart to know it. But the Bible says when Jesus was here on earth preaching, the common people heard him gladly. If I look from the third chapter of Genesis down to the close of Revelations, I find the blood of Christ put forth as the alone ground of righteousness. Are you hearing what I said? I find the blood of Christ put forth as the alone ground for righteousness. Nothing else. Only the blood of Jesus Christ. When you are washed in the blood, you have the righteousness of God. That blood gives you it. Gives you it. Gives you it. It cleanses you. We get pardon, peace, life, righteousness, all by the blood. Nothing but the blood. The entire book of Leviticus, and particularly this chapter 17 that we're looking at tonight, is a commentary upon the doctrine of the blood. It's a full commentary on it. I can preach you the gospel from Leviticus. I think maybe I've done it before. Several meetings. I can preach it plain from this Old Testament, the gospel. Because this is a book about the blood. Our minds are prone to slip away from the plain testimony of the word. People want something more sometimes. Some new thing. But if a new thing takes you away from the simplicity of Christ, Paul says away with it. He warns us to forget not the simplicity that's in Christ. Opinions is no good. All must come under the true light of the Word of God. May we all learn to give the blood of Christ its due place. It is so precious in God's sight that He will not suffer aught else to be added or mingled with it, the blood alone. That's how precious it is in God. God says you're going to come by the cross, no other way. Leviticus 17:1, and I'm closing. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. My friend, this evening, I feel strongly there's somebody watching in tonight. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can give you peace and perfection. Jesus can cleanse you. He can cleanse your conscience. He can cleanse your whole life. He can change you. You can be born again by the Spirit of God, but you must come with the blood. If you're even in this service tonight and the Lord has spoken to you, maybe you need to come afresh to the altar of God. Now, I don't mean a show of the flesh. That's all right. Many times in churches we can have a prayer show in the flesh and it means nothing. But if someone from the heart is genuine and they come from the heart afresh to the cross, God sees it. And God will honor it. I challenge you this evening, will you come afresh? Backslider, will you come? Will you come afresh to the Lord? You that's not saved, I would plead with you tonight. Will you come? Somebody said you shouldn't plead. Spurgeon once said, he did a service and he never made no altar call. And he made no pleading for the unsaved and the building burned. And many people never got out of it. And he said he wept bitterly. He went home and he wept bitterly. He said he'd never give the chance. He was too quick. And he said from that time onward, and I know men in this country that make altar calls and people condemn them. But maybe they're doing it like Spurgeon done it. Maybe that's why they're doing it. It's out of a genuine sincerity that they want to see people saved. And I want to give you a chance this evening that's listening in. Will you come to the Lord? Romans 10:9, it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. We know it's what Romans 10:9 said. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must confess it and believe it, and then you'll have it. Come to the cross this evening. Let us stand on our feet. And let us close our eyes tonight as we come to the close of the service. I want to give a chance for the unsaved. And also those that are suffering in your body. Maybe you have been tested for COVID-19. Maybe you've come up positive. I have a cure for you tonight. And that cure is by my stripes you're healed. Amen. The stripes of Jesus is what heals us. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace is upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. While our eyes are bowed, our heads are bowed, our eyes closed, if there's someone in this room and you want prayer, lift your hand up to the Lord. God bless you, son. God bless you. Praise God. God bless you. And you listening in, is there someone tonight and you're not saved? I want to give a chance. I'm going to pray the sinner's prayer tonight. I feel to do it. And I want you to pray this prayer with me. Someone listening in this evening, pray this prayer. If you pray and believe it, you'll be saved. But the Bible is clear. And then I'm going to pray for those with their hands raised and those that need a touch from the Lord. Heavenly Father, we bow before you tonight. In the lovely name of Jesus Christ, we call upon your name. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my heart to stay. Come into my heart today. Lord, forgive me for every sin, for every wrong thought, for every wrong word, for every wrong deed. Wash me in the blood of Jesus Christ now. I confess you with my mouth. I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Save me right now in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for those that need your touch tonight. In this service, the hand is raised. Those that's listening in this evening, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that you'll touch every person in Jesus' name. I rebuke the spirit of infirmity. I rebuke the spirit of fear in the name of Jesus Christ. I ask for health and strength. Strength to the navel, marrow to the bones. In Jesus Christ's name tonight, I come against this virus and this thing that's going around. Lord, protect your children. I rebuke it over any person that come in contact with it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we ask for your protection. We plead the blood of our lives, on our children, on our home, to all that's listening in this evening. Father, we do pray again for the nurses, for the doctors. Cover them with your blood. Keep them safe, Lord Jesus. Watch over them. And Lord, we ask for the children in this wicked, evil day. Protect them, Lord, and save them. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. As your brother Gary comes, God bless each one.
Can we sing the hymn, "The Great Physician Has Near, Who Has Healed, Sympathizing Jesus"?
complete that sacrifice, that precious blood, fresh upon our lives this evening. And Lord, we just leave it in your name and in your hands. We trust that you know those, Lord Jesus Christ, that need you. And Lord, our prayer is for our loved ones and our families, that you would reveal unto them their need of salvation. Save souls in these days, Lord, of grace.
Yes, Jesus.
Lord, we pray that you just provide every need, no matter what it be, in our lives and our families' lives, until we meet again. We're in and through your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Lord bless each one of us. We go this same night on the course. And singing on the course, this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord bless you. Lord, I will see you by the name.